Schofield is back in town, and this may be a bit of a shock to his system, the cold, I reckon, because he's been in England during their summer over there. They're to South Africa. He's heading off to Hong Kong. And welcome back, Chad.
Thanks, Sean.
The cold weather, mate, this would be a bit of a shock to the system. Wouldn't you? You would have been over there for a month or so, and beautiful weather.
Yeah, that's right. It was very warm in England before I left. Quite surprisingly, a lot warmer than it is here in Melbourne. It was pretty cold at Flemington this morning, riding jump out in the rain, but nevertheless, it's really good to be home, and hopefully I can have a good weekend.
Now, Chad, we saw you ride a great race in Criterion over there at the Royal Ascot meeting. You rode work in England for a while. Which trainers did you ride for mainly when you rode work?
I left here primarily for Ed Dunlop. My first month in England, I rode work solely for him. After that, I started to travel and pop my head into a few of the bigger yards, such as Roger Varian, John Gosden, Clive Britton, Charlie Fellows. Quite a number of good trainers. So that's a lot, and it was great riding work for all of those big names.
I spoke to David Hayes when he got back, and I said, what did you learn? He said they train their stayers differently, the amount of work they give them, the tempo. What did you notice most riding work over there?
Yeah, they certainly do. They their horses work over a lot longer distance in the mornings and at a quicker pace. Their fitness levels, they're very fit horses when they're up and racing, and they obviously work up on the mountains, up on hill tracks, so they build up a lot of fitness and stamina, and I think it tells in the staying division.
Chad, we see video and photos here of them, what they call riding out of a morning. They go out, and you're out for quite a while. Do sprinters and stayers do almost similar work?
Oh, no, not... No, they work on the same track. Warren Hill, for instance, it's up a mountain, but it's only 4.5 furlongs long. So a sprinter may only go up once, whereas a stayer might go up twice on a slow day.
Yep. So from there, and that must have been a wonderful experience riding at Royal Ascot Criterion. You gave it every chance.
Yeah, that was fantastic. Obviously, great to get the ride first and foremost. But, the race worked out to plan. They didn't go very quick. But he was on speed, and he worked the line solidly to only be beaten by 3 lengths. So it was probably the strongest, 10 furlong race with the best horses from around the world. So to be beaten not far was pretty brave, I thought.
Well, you went from England across to South Africa and rode in the Derby in July, and I imagine that would have been a race you would have grown up thinking, I'd love to have a ride in that one day.
Yeah, certainly did. Can remember going to Gravel Racecourse with Dad when I was very small, and although I hadn't been there for nearly 8 years, I knew my way around from when I was young. But it was great to go back and ride there. All my school friends came, which I hadn't seen for so many years, so it was just a really good day out.
Would have been a fantastic thrill. So how many rides did you have in South Africa? Did you you had a few there while you were there?
Yeah, it was a 12-race program. I had 4 rides. My first ride, I ran second in the Group 2 race. Then I ran fourth in the two-year-old Group 1, and unfortunately, in the main race, I ran midfield somewhere.
All right, so we're doing the world tour here from South Africa back to Melbourne now. You're riding at Flemington tomorrow, and you're here for, what, about 3 weeks?
Yes, I've got one ride today at Pakenham, and then tomorrow I've got 4 at Flemington, and I'll ride in Melbourne for about 3 weeks before I head to Hong Kong.
All right, now the contract in Hong Kong, how long is that for?
I received a 6-month contract at the beginning of the season. Obviously, it's the off-season now, but when it commences in September, I'll be there riding and for 6 months.
So you'll be there probably until the end of February, so you'll miss the entire... Are you able to come back for the Spring Carnival? Are they accommodating to that if you're offered a good ride in a race like the Cox Plate or the Melbourne Cup?
Yeah, I think so. Obviously, it's been done in the past with Zach Purton, winning the Caulfield Cup, and Joe Marrero made a few visits to Sydney during the Carnival. I think what helps is their race is on Sunday. And I think, I'm not entirely sure, but I think there is a small window of opportunity, yes.
Well, that'd be nice if we can work that in, because it's good to keep the contacts back here, and you've got the record on the board.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, it'll be great if I can ride in the any one of the big three during the Melbourne Carnival. So hopefully we can just have to wait and see what happens.
All right. Well, tomorrow you got four at Flemington. What'll be your pick tomorrow?
I think Pago Rock's really well placed. He's a very good galloper on his day, and although he's getting on a bit now in age and hasn't won for a while, I think he's really well placed, and he's got a perfect barrier. The thing's out of the track, so he's up to 7 furlongs again, which, although his form suggests he's probably better over 6, he has won. He has run some very good races with me in the past over 1,400 meters. So I think he'll be. I think he'll be thereabouts in the finish.
All right, well, Chad, welcome back. Good luck tomorrow. I'd love your free flyer points, and enjoy the next 3 weeks here.
Yeah, thank you, Sean. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot. Chad Schofield, good to have him back in town. He's riding back here for about 3 weeks, and then that 6-month contract in Hong Kong, which is a beauty. 24 past 9 at Sky Sports Radio. We've been watching Queensland racing with a lot of interest. Eagle Farm is in the process of being renovated, but at the moment seems to be at a standstill. There were reports that they were concerned about the finances. The projections weren't that bad. It was quite positive. It would appear it is far, far more serious than that. Leading trainer Robert Heathcote joins you now. Good morning, Robert.
Good morning, Sean.
This must be heartbreaking for someone like you. You worked so hard there promoting the state, and it had appeared on the surface to have really kicked on.
Yeah, it did, Sean, and it certainly is very disappointing that this news has come out in the last 24 hours. But, you know, I'm not willing to start jumping off the story bridge just yet. Whilst I have no doubt that the predictions may not have proved to be accurate, we must take into consideration that Eagle Farm's been out of action for 12 months. Eagle Farm is our main racetrack in Queensland, and it's our main venue for turnover. And betting turnover is the fuel that drives the industry. You take that out of the equation, and I think their forecasts have come in somewhat lower. 28 million. As far as I'm concerned, that's just plain politics at this early stage, scaremongering.
Now, the gentleman from KPMG who's coming to basically be the administrator and run it, does he have a racing background at all, or is he purely of an accountant background?
Well, I actually heard him interviewed for the first time this morning on 4TAB up here, and yeah, he actually said, no, he's got no racing background. He's purely a finance man to go into a corporation or a business and fix it, so to speak. He was appointed by the current Labor government, and I think it's still early. And look, the good thing, I guess, is they've come out and said that there are financial irregularities and nothing's going to change for the next 6 months. There's going to be lots of consultation and lots of talk to try and find a solution to fix it. But you and I both know in racing that vested interest from all parties is always at the forefront of any individual. And I fear that may well be once again the case. And look, if they want to save money, I mean, I suppose we've got to look at all aspects of racing, and prize money is one of the biggest expenses in the industry. Whether or not cutting prize money, perhaps maybe for, you know, they even mentioned perhaps the Stradbroke cutting it from 2 million down to 1 or even 1.5. Maybe that would help save some money. But the general demographics of this state, Sean, are certainly have to be considered. You know, we're a massive state. We've got 130 race clubs, which is like three times more than what they have in Victoria. So they're going to look at everything across the state and see where they have to. You know, they're going to be painful decisions that are going to have to be made, I think.
Can you see some of these smaller racetracks that maybe race once or twice a year just disappearing?
Well, I mean, it's been alluded to because at the end of the day, it costs money. Mm. It costs money, and whilst it's an extremely important part of, you know, the fabric of country life, you know, in terms of socioeconomic way of life, you know, at what cost? Is it the cost to the racing industry, or is it a cost that perhaps should be borne more by the government? Mm. You know, it's going to be a difficult call to make, but certainly that's one issue that I'll have to look at.
Now, the Queensland Racing Minister, Bill Byrne, has called on the Crime and Corruption Commission to investigate Racing Queensland. Is there an indication or a hint that there could have been snouts in the trough?
Look, it certainly may well come across as that, but every racing administration since I've been racing has always, you know, called in the Crime and Misconduct Commission to investigate something, and nothing ever comes of it. So I go back to my earlier comment, there might be a little bit of politics involved in this as well. I had complete faith and confidence in the previous administration, and talking to you now, I still do.
Rob, it's interesting. Others I've spoken to in Queensland have the same view as you. They always said every time we heard anything, whatever, it was always positive, we're going forward, and they thought, oh, maybe a million, 2 million. How, and what's got everyone puzzled is, if that figure's right, how could they have got it so wrong?
Well, exactly, and if that is indeed the case, it's extremely disappointing. But whilst I'm sure the mark is going to be higher than, or the loss is going to be higher than was forecast, I think the major part of that blame would come down to the loss of Eagle Farm.
Rob, do you think it was a good idea having one governing body controlling all three codes?
No, I think it's a nightmare. Look, at the end of the day, it's brought our racing to its knees. The administration, the boards have all been fired. The CEO's lost his job. The head of integrity's lost his job. And quite frankly, Wade Birch, he was a darn good steward, and his background was thoroughbred racing. You know, at the end of the day, he was head of integrity. So I guess, you know, the buck stops at the top. But what he knew about greyhound racing is probably part of the reason it's brought about his demise. And somebody has to pay the penalty. But the new government's come in and they've basically tied the three boards, and they're going to institute another board that's going to run all three codes together. So what's going to change?
The recent live baiting and greyhound racing, has that caused damage there to all codes?
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, the stigma of it, it's affected thoroughbred harness. And sadly, you know, the good people, of which the majority are in greyhound racing, everybody's been, you know, stained by this, live baiting scandal. Mm.
Well, Rob, on a brighter note, how's our mate Buff? This time last year, who would have thought there's going to be a few more Group 1s on the mantelpiece?
Hey? Well, this time last year there was. He won the Moyer Stakes, yeah, and he knocked off Lank and Rupee. And we're heading back down there again, Sean. We're going down on a couple of days before the 25th of September, and we'll be there to defend his crown. It's perhaps not going to be as easy this year with the race being brought back from 1,200 metres to 1,000, which is probably not going to do Buff any favours trying to get to the lead. No doubt there'll be some real speedsters there, but he's back in work now. He's been with me 3 weeks. He looks great. He's bucking his brand off. So I'm confident the break that he had allowed him to get over his injury.
Well, what a great horse. He's just a ripper. They wouldn't run the race, I reckon, unless you were there with him.
He loves Mooney Valley. He's run a couple of Group 1s, and he's been there every year for the last 4 or 5 years, and looking forward to getting back again.
And if people ever wonder what they think of their horses, they should see footage of you when he won at the Valley there one night. You had a grin on you like a cat coming out of a fish shop.
Mate, every loving husband has a photo of their beautiful wife on the phone. I've got buckling there.
I wouldn't be telling your wife that, but anyway. Rob, great to catch up with you, mate, and good luck with him.
Always a pleasure, Sean. Cheers, mate.
Thanks a lot. Rob Heathcote there, and great to know the Buffering's back on track. What an old warhorse. He is an absolute cracker, and you love horses like that coming back to the races. Chris Lees is off to Scone today with some nice horses, and joins us now. Morning, Chris.
Morning, Sean.
Now, are you going to go to Scone, or are you going to stay home in the office and stay warm and send someone else?
I've got a bit of work to do in the office today.
What a coincidence. And when did that pop up?
Just on the couch.
About 5 minutes ago. Now, you've got in the third City of Justice, the top weight there with Blaze Spriggs on. Given it a few trials, had a run the other day at Wong. Got back in the field. Did it show you much?
Yeah, he did. He worked home quite nice. His run got interrupted down the running, so he's taking good improvement out of that run. I still feel he'd be better when he gets probably out to a mile, but the big track and back to country grade, I think you'll be quite competitive here.
All right. Interesting runner in the fifth over the 1600. This is an imported horse, Glorious Cinder. You've also got Ano Diggerson as well. Now, tell us about Glorious Cinder. It's got over ground overseas.
Yeah, look, I think he'll be better when we get him out over further ground, but we had to start somewhere. I thought the big spacious track at Scone would be to his liking. Although it's a heavy eight, I still think it'll be a better surface. We'll get midweek racing at the moment, so that's the reason he's gone up there. He'll be competitive, but whatever he does, he's going to improve greatly on off the back of today's run. Ano Diggers a little bit in similar boat, but he can sprint well, fresh Ano Diggers, although with the big weight. I can see him working home nice with the view that, again, he'll improve off the run.
This horse, Glorious Cinder, he's only had the 7 runs. He's shown a bit of ability, hasn't he?
Yeah, lightly raced. He's just took a little while to settle in, but I think today's run will bring him on.
Do you find these European horses, in the past we saw the English ones come out when Robert Sanks was bringing a lot of those. out. They take like a little prep to settle down. Do you find most of them settle in straight away, or do you find they need a little prep break and then they're right?
Oh, they're all different, sure. Yeah. Some, you know, some adapt straight away, but others can take a preparation or two, and this horse could be in that boat, but he's a nice enough horse.
All right, Power Supply in race 7, been very consistent.
Very consistent. He hasn't won for a little while now, but he's racing consistently. He's a tricky horse to place. When he came up with 17, originally I was going to pull him out, but there doesn't appear a great deal of early pressure. If you can get across and get a soft enough type of run from that awkward gate, he could be very effective there. It's, as you said, he's a consistent horse and looks a nice race for him.
Right, lovely filly going around the 8th, second Obsession by O'Reilly. She ran second Newcastle and then won at Muscle Brook. You've given her 3 trials to get her ready for this.
Yeah, she had a long time off and just took a little while to switch back on. She's started to turn things around now at home. Whatever she does today, she'll improve greatly off, but it looks a race where there'll be a good solid tempo and she'll be very strong late. I think she's a genuine chance with a view of going. She'll improve off the run.
All right, another fascinating runner tomorrow at Rose Hill in the 8th in Rio Perdido. Now, you've given it a couple of 1,000-metre trials. So by gee, it looks like it's got ability as well.
Yeah, very nice horse. It's still undecided whether he'll run. We'll watch the weather today, so there's a chance we'll keep him another week. He's been off the scene for a couple of years now, so there's no great rush to fall.
Yeah.
The owners would like to see him get back to the races, but we may have to wait another week. But he is a nice horse. He's probably one worth following in time.
I suppose, Chris, in some ways it's a real learning curve with these horses, obviously, because we've had horses here by Galileo, and we maybe trained them the wrong way or whatever, but he didn't really fire in Australia, yet you get, you know, Adelaide and those sort of horses, champions from Europe. So I suppose when you get one that's you maybe have had progeny by before, you've got to look in a totally different light, given the upbringing and preparation it's had.
Yeah, certainly they've had a different grounding, and it's all a new environment for them, different training methods, so some take a little longer to settle in than others.
All right, terrific. What'll be your pick today?
Oh, Sean, in a pretty tough day, I'd say probably City of Justice.
All right, terrific. Well, look, good luck, and let's hope the imports go well for you too, Chris.
Thank you. Cheers.
Thanks, Chris. Chris Lee's there. Now, Ray Murray, he's just contacted me. Naranda races scheduled for Sunday have been called off after the steward's inspection of the track. Thank you, Ray. Ray Murray, he was just advised. Naranda races scheduled for Sunday have been called off after stewards have inspected the track there. So they've had no luck at all, unfortunately, with the track and weather. Now, today we've got the meeting at Canberra, and I thought we'd have to check with Matty Dale. I should have been blow the horses. We want a Billy update, because a week ago at this time, I spoke to Matt. He was almost in the hospital, white, scrubbed up, ready to roll in the hospital car park, waiting to go in for the birth of his third child. Morning, Matt.
Morning, Sean. How are you going?
Good. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
And tell us, Billy Peter, Billy Phillip or Billy Peter Dale?
Billy Peter Dale.
And
born lunchtime last Friday, yeah.
So you didn't have too long to wait. We spoke to you about this time. You had about 3 or 4 hours. That's a considerate labour.
Yeah, it's hard and fast, but no, Amy done a great job, and both Mum and both Amy and Billy are doing very well. They're back at home now, so it's great.
And, Matty, once you see your wife go through that, don't you look at her in different eyes completely and never complain about any pain you have.
It's pretty special. They do a very special thing, mothers. They're very underrated, I think. And until you experience it firsthand, yeah, I think they're, no one gives them the credit that's due.
Now, is the little fella sleeping? You're getting a bit of sleep?
Yeah, he's doing really well, actually. Since he got home, he's drinking really well and sleeping really well. So everything's going great at this stage.
Well, that's fantastic. The last thing you want to do is walk in the box every night with him, trying to rock him to sleep.
No, that's right. Amy does a great job with him and got him very settled.
Oh, fantastic. Now, today you've got a few in. Itchy's the Riz in the first.
Yeah, obviously it's down to a 3-horse field now. So my foreman, Andy Breton, owns Itchy's the Riz, and he's been racing quite well. And I thought his run last Friday at Wagga was full of merit. And hit the line good, and so yeah, obviously 3-horse field. He's obviously right in the thick of it, but they can tricky run races when it's a small field. But Brendan Ward rode him last start and knows him well, so he'll have him just there poised to bounce.
All right, Chelsea Hotel is in the third. It's got a handy record, fresh.
Yeah, she does. She's a quirky mare that's going to stud this season. She's done a great job. She's won in Melbourne and in Sydney. And second up, she has performed before, and on the rain-affected track, she's performed. So she's a free-rolling horse that'll be out on speed, and there's two of her. If she gets it right, she wins. And if she doesn't, she runs nowhere. I think she's had six wins and no placings. But she's in good order and she's worked well through the week.
All right. She's single, has one for one on the heavy and got the money last out of Canberra.
Yeah, she's a mare, not a big mare, racing in very good form. Jay Ford seems to have the key to her and rides her very well. She won over the track and distance last start there at Canberra, goes up in weight accordingly. But once again, she seems right in the thick of this race. So Jay Ford sticks, which is an important thing for her, and she does appear to get through all conditions.
All right, yep, she's in race six, and you've got two in the eighth. You've got Royal Amati, which is back in distance slightly, but does handle the wet, and also you've got More Beautiful, which won last start.
Yeah, that's right. They both have wet track credentials. Royal Amati's coming back off a slight setback, hence why she's coming back in distance and has to carry top weight as a mare, which is always hard. Whereas More Beautiful is placed beautifully on the 54 kilos, and albeit back in grade last start at Albury, I thought she was strong late in the heavy track, and looks like the mile will suit.
All right. Which will be the pick today, Matt?
So, obviously, a really tricky day on the very, very heavy track. I think I've got, obviously, Itchy's there is, She's Single, Chelsea Hotel, all good chances. I'd say More Beautiful probably looks the best placed right down in the weights, and she does get through the heavy track.
All right. Now, has Fell Sweep from behind Darcy Wood and Wonderbolt and company at Randwick yet?
Yeah, that was a bit hard to take, but it was good to see that he's, returned in very good order.
Yeah, you had no luck, did you?
No luck at all that day, but that's racing. That's racing. He's come home. He's done very well since it was a glorified barrier trial, really. Got one or two slaps down the shoulder, but he's in for a good preparation and he'll look to go back to Rose Hill in a couple of weeks' time.
All right, and finally, Northern Fury, that lovely Northern Meteor filly you've got, two from two. She's won. Where to next?
Yeah, she's progressing nicely. At this stage, she'll head back down to Wagga next Friday, today week, in a Class 2 1300, and then reassess from there.
Good on you, Matt. Good luck, and all the best to your wife and a little Billy. He's a week old today, and let's hope there's a winner there for you.
Very good. Thanks, Sean.
Thanks.